Good morning and welcome. Please do stay for a cup of tea or coffee afterwards. But I wonder, as we start this morning, I wonder if anyone remembers who this gentleman is. Can anyone remember? He was in the news about 4 years ago. No? Sorry? No, I don't know who he is, but no, that's not him. Okay, his name is Felix Baumgartner. Don't know if that rings any bells. Obviously not. No, someone's nodding. Someone's nodding. Go on then, Dan.
The highest man in space to shoot for that idea.
That's correct, yeah. So in 2012, he jumped from a balloon at 39 kilometres high, free-falling 36 kilometres, roughly, and breaking the speed barrier on the way down. He set the world record for both the longest free fall and the speed record for free falling. Apparently, as a boy, he dreamt about skydiving. He trained with the military as a parachutist. And then from about 1999 onwards, he took a number of different skydiving challenges before setting this record. Frankly, he seems a bit of a nutter to me. We'll come back to Felix later. We're carrying on our series in Hebrews and spending a bit of time looking at the examples of faith used by the writer to encourage the readers to persevere in their faith in Jesus Christ. Remember, these are Jewish Christians who are coming under considerable pressure to return to their Jewish religion rather than follow Jesus. Our passage is Hebrews 11, verse 7. It's on page 1209 of the Church Bible, and reads thus. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Now, when we're talking about Noah, it's sensible to read some of the account of Noah. So we're going to look at Genesis, which is on page 8 of the Church Bible, and we're going to start at verse 5, going through to chapter 7, verse 6. So chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground. For I regret that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood, make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish, but I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your wife's sons with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything as just as God commanded him. The Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you seven pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and one pair of every kind of unclean animal, a male and its mate, and also seven pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. Now, it'd be easy, wouldn't it, to read this account of Noah and say, okay, I can see what this is saying. God can ask us to do what seems outrageous things sometimes. We should respond by doing them. That's faith. Now, I'm sure Noah had some strange looks and comments when he was building the ark. And we see today, don't we, that people find Christians doing things because of their faith. They think it's outrageous at times. They think it's odd. God expects us to do the same. It wouldn't be building an ark, but it could be going on a mission field or a mission trip. It could be giving up something that the world sees as important to follow God. It could be choosing to help people who are in need. All sorts of things. We can see that in the account of Noah. We could go, job done, let's go and have a cup of tea. But that would be wrong, wouldn't it? And I can see some of you woke up at the thought of having an early cup of tea. It's not wrong that God might ask us to do some of these things. Things that the world seems strange. Because frankly, the world sees people who believe in God, who trust in Jesus, as odd at times. No, he can and does ask us to do these things. And it's right that we should obey in faith. What's wrong is that that's all there is to learn from this account of Noah. There's much more. And the account of Noah had much more significance to the Jewish readers of this letter as well. The passage in Genesis starts in verse 7 with God casting judgment on the world for its wickedness. It says everyone was evil and the inclinations of their hearts were always evil. And God's judgment is to wipe them out. He regrets having made them. Now, it's easy to imagine that God's there as some sort of cross person, getting more and more irate and irritable until he explodes. But that's not the case at all. It says God's heart was deeply troubled. Such is God's pain at seeing his wonderful creation scarred by our selfishness, our determination to put ourselves first. Because that's what sin is, putting ourselves before everything else. So the first thing we learn about, first thing we see on the account of Noah, is something about God's character, his nature. It shows us that he cares about what he has made. He is passionate about the world he has made and those in it. He wants it to be perfect, the way he created it. He loves it dearly. And he's passionate about justice. He is a just God. He can't abide sin and injustice. But this also means he is a God who judges. He is the just judge. It also shows us that he feels pain when his creation is marred and spoilt. You know, the pain that we feel when we are sinned against is felt by God, as he is sinned against at the same time. He fully understands the pain of sin. It's good to be reminded of God's nature. And the second thing, it was also a characteristic of God, part of his nature, and that is that God is a gracious God. We read in verse 8 that Noah found favour in God's sight. Now, it'd be easy at this point to look at verse 9 and say, oh yes, that's obvious, he was righteous. He was blameless before the people. He had faith. Why shouldn't God find favour in him? But I think that would be reading the account wrong. God didn't find favour in Noah because of verse 9. God's favour was freely given grace to Noah. God chose to find favour in Noah. Verse 9 is not the reason God found favour in Noah. Verse 9 is the result of God's favour. It's easy to assume that the decision in verse 8 to wipe the world of mankind is immediately followed by God's commandment to Noah to build the ark. But I'm not sure that's the case. God passed his judgment, but decided to grant grace to Noah. Possibly at that time, Noah didn't have a relationship with God, or much of one. We don't know. But we do know that every thought of the heart was evil all the time. And that would have included Noah. He wasn't excluded from that list. So it's quite conceivable that some time elapses between the judgment and the command to build the ark. Time for God to work in Noah, revealing himself to him. And verse 9 is the effect of that revelation, this grace to Noah. This is the third thing that we see. God works in those he gives his grace to transform them. Verse 9 says that Noah was righteous, he was blameless amongst the people, and walked faithfully with God. He has been transformed by God's grace. Let's look briefly at these three things it says about Noah. Firstly, it says he was righteous. What does the Bible mean when it says he was righteous? Well, there are two options. It could mean that by the standards of the day, he was good, virtuous, upright, upstanding, a decent man. Well, certainly from the next part where it says he was blameless amongst the people, that would seem to be the case. But it could also mean righteous before God. That is to say, blameless before God. Well, we saw in verse 5 that the thoughts of man's hearts were always evil, and that Noah wasn't excluded from that. We read also in Romans 3, verse 10, that no one is righteous, not even one. So Noah couldn't be righteous before God from his own actions. But the second part of Hebrews 11, 7 says he became an heir of righteousness. What does this mean? Well, we also read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's saying that our ability to be righteous before God is purely down to Jesus, to him being made sin and taking the punishment we deserve for our sin, so that we might take on his righteousness, his right standing before God. Noah didn't see how this would be fulfilled in Jesus, but he had faith that God would, through his favour, count him as blameless in his sight. Jesus' death and resurrection not only purchased our righteousness, it purchased it for those who had faith before he came. So we can see then that both meanings of righteousness fit. He was an example of godly living in his day, but that by grace God made him righteous. It was only by his grace that he could have relationship with God. It reminds us, doesn't it, that our standing before God is not dependent on us, who we are, what we do. It is purely dependent on God's grace to us. Secondly, it says that Noah was blameless amongst the people. And this is a real challenge to us, isn't it? Are we blameless amongst the people we associate with? It doesn't mean we are perfect, never getting anything wrong. That would be impossible. But it does mean, are we trying to follow God's principles? Are we being honest, loving, compassionate, putting others first? And how do we react when we do get things wrong? Do we try to cover them up or put the blame on others, as the world often does? Or are we humble? Do we acknowledge our faults and apologise? The third thing it says about Noah is that he walked faithfully with God. Now, we don't know how this happened, how he met with God, how he interacted, how he listened and spoke with God. Noah must have found a time regularly that he spent with God, somewhere they could communicate, talk and listen. And God's Spirit would have been at work in Noah. There are a number of characteristics we see in the account of Noah as he builds the ark. We see that he was attentive to God. We see that he accepted God's word. He recognized God's power. And he was ready to do as God asked. We see these in the account of the building of the ark. But more importantly, these would have been characteristics of Noah before then. It would only have been through years of faith that he would have built up these characteristics and led to him being called righteous, blameless, and faithful. It is only through years of practicing his faith in his daily life that when it came to such a big step, he didn't falter. So Noah was used as an example of faith to the Jewish Christians, and he's an example of faith to us too. The Jewish Christians were tempted to return to their Jewish religion as they were being persecuted for their faith. And the writer is reminding them that their forefathers, before the sacrificial system was introduced, had faith in God directly. They didn't make sacrifices to receive forgiveness. It was a gift of grace from God, and they lived in faith as a response to that gift. And that returning to the sacrificial system would be giving up on God's grace, rejecting it. Noah was an example of this grace. God found favor in Noah, not because of who he was, but because God chose to. And Noah was righteous before God because of God's favor. And this is an important reminder to us. Salvation only comes through God's grace to us, through Jesus. We can't earn it or deserve it. It is an unwarranted free gift. So the first question we have to ask ourselves is, have we accepted that gift of grace from God? Perhaps this is the first time you've heard about it. Perhaps you've heard it many times. Perhaps you've been brought up in the church and have heard it many, many, many times. My challenge is, have you accepted it, responded to it, and turned to God in faith? If not, can I encourage you to do so? Don't put it off. You see, Noah's account also reminds us that there will be a day when we will face the judge. Noah was saved not because he built an ark, but because God showed his favor to him, and Noah had faith in him. Don't miss out on God's grace to you. We were talking about Felix Baumgartner earlier, but I wonder if anyone knows who this guy is. I'm looking at Dan because he knew the other guy. No, I'm guessing you probably won't. Well, his name's Alan Eustace. He's a computer scientist. He's got 3 degrees. He worked in Silicon Valley for people like Compaq, HP and Google. And in 2014... with no significant experience, he jumped from a balloon at 42 kilometres in space and beat Felix's record with a freefall jump of 37.5 kilometres. You've probably never, well, I know you've never heard of him because no one said it, and I'd never heard of him until I was looking at Felix. And we probably won't remember him, to be honest, will we? But I bet that frustrated Felix no end. To be beaten by someone who hadn't trained for parachuting all his life. Why do I mention these guys? Well, it's for you younger people mainly, though not exclusively. You see, our culture tends to judge us by what we are, what we've achieved in life. It suggests that you must do everything to achieve your dreams. But this is ultimately false. Now, don't get me wrong, if you have a passion for something, an ability or a dream to pursue something, go for it. Don't be disappointed if it doesn't work out. But if you've got an ability, use it. It's a gift from God. Use it to his glory. But what is false is that we are defined by what we are or who we are or what we achieve. Felix, briefly, was defined by his freefall record, but it didn't last. He was beaten by someone with far less experience than him. But this is how the world often seeks to define us, by what it perceives we have achieved. Let me tell you that we are truly defined by whether we are trusting in God or not. That is the only definition that has any eternal consequence. In the world's eyes, Noah is defined by building the ark. In God's eyes, Noah is defined by the fact God extended grace to him. Nothing else. Noah listened and followed God faithfully. What's going to define your life? Perhaps as you enjoy your summer holidays, it's something for you to consider. Well, perhaps like me, you've been a Christian for many years. And for us, Noah is an example of not giving up. Noah wasn't granted grace by God one day and built the ark the next. He spent a considerable part of his 950 years living in faithful obedience to God. He didn't get everything right, but by grace, he was righteous before God through faith. That faith is not just about building the ark. I don't know how long it took him to build it, but it would have been a small part of his 950 years. Noah's faith was practiced and exercised over a large part of his life. Faith isn't a one-off transaction or dependent on whether we are faithful in a spectacular way. Faith is daily reliance and dependence on God, not on self. Recognizing God as God, that by grace he has saved us, counted us as righteous before him, and asks us to follow him. Our challenge is to follow. So let's not give up on our faith. Let's seek God first and love our neighbour second. Let's seek to have those characteristics that Noah's faith had. Being attentive to God, accepting God's word, recognising God's power, ready to do as God asks. Noah was righteous, blameless amongst the people, and walked faithfully with God. Let's be known for that, that our lives live out our faith. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this example of Noah. We thank you for the grace that you showed to him and his faith in you. We pray that we might respond similarly to your grace to us through Jesus Christ, that we might accept your love for us, your forgiveness for us, and we might turn to you and follow you faithfully all our days. In Jesus' name, amen.